Welcome to Series 6 of Wanderlust Off the Page. I'm Lynn Hughes, founding editor of Wanderlust.
And I'm Rodri Andrews, special features editor here at Wanderlust.
Now, in previous series, we've taken you around the world, everywhere from Easter Island to Christmas Island, and from exploring the Amazon by riverboat to crossing Vietnam by rail.
From exploring the wildernesses of Saskatchewan to walking the coast of Scotland, Series 6 continues where we left off and takes you to the wildest corners of the planet. In this episode of Wanderlust Off the Page, we'll be getting under the skin of Saskatchewan, a Canadian province covered in large swathes of prime wilderness.
That's right, Rodri. We'll be taking a journey through the land of living skies, through its prairie, grasslands, forest and lakes, hearing all about it through the voices of its local and indigenous people. If that doesn't say wanderlust, I don't know what does.
And joining host Aaron Miller today is local travel writer Ashlyn George, Jodie Holliday from Tourism Saskatchewan, and acclaimed Indigenous chef Jenny Lessard. Together, they'll take us to the heart and soul of this wild province.
Ah, oh, can't wait. I love Saskatchewan. So let's get started.
Welcome to the show, guys. I'm excited about today's episode because Wanderlust is all about taking the road less traveled. And where we're going today, Saskatchewan is a place that most people would be familiar with, but maybe not know so much about, which is perfect for intrepid people like us. This is what this show is all about, discovering new destinations. And we've got three fantastic experts to show us around today. So we've got local travel writer Ashlyn George. Hey, Ashlyn, how's it going?
So good. I'm excited about our chat today.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you in Saskatchewan right now?
I am in Saskatoon, which is the biggest city in the province.
Awesome. Awesome. And we've also have Jodie Holliday from Tourism Saskatchewan. How's it going, Jodie?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Are you from Saskatchewan originally then?
Yep.
Born and bred?
Born and bred. I tried to escape a few times. It just didn't stick. So
keeps pulling you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's always a good sign. That's awesome. And then finally, we have Jenny Lessard, who is you're a chef, I believe, from the Indigenous Culinary Alliance of Associated Nations. Jenny, awesome to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. I live and work in the Qu'Appelle Valley on Treaty 4 territory and homeland of the Métis, of which I am a citizen of the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan. Right now, I'm in Saskatoon. That's Treaty 6 territory, homeland of the Métis, and I'm looking out at the beautiful South Saskatchewan River right now.
That sounds amazing. So, Jodie, as I said, people will know the name Saskatchewan, but they might not know all that much about it. Could you kind of set the scene for us? You know, what's your province all about and where are you located?
We're kind of in the middle of Canada. We're about the size of Texas, just a wee bit smaller, with only about 1.2 million people. So we're a friendly bunch because you never know when you're going to see another human being. Half the population is situated in our two largest cities, Regina, the capital, that's where I am, and Saskatoon. We're pretty spread out, so if you want to really get away, you can. We have over 100,000 lakes and waterways, so it's a mix of prairie, grasslands, boreal forest, and Canadian Shield.
Yeah, it's such a huge place, 250,000 square miles, I think, which is about 2.5 times the size of the UK, to put that in perspective for people listening. So we've got a lot to cover. I'm going to put you on the spot now a bit, Ashlyn. So you're an adventure travel writer. I want to get deep into the kind of outdoors and adventure in a bit. You've obviously covered I was saying this fine before I came on. Mm-hmm.
Just say
Sask. I'm going to have to write it phonetically in front of me. Saskatchewan. Yeah, that's it. There's certain things in a British accent you cannot say. It's like you can't say Worcester sauce.
Worcester.
You say Worcestershire. Yeah.
Oh. That's true.
But tell me about some of your favorite local trips you've done. If you could pick out like one or two of the best articles you've written about, what would you pick?
I think something really special about Saskatchewan is the access to our night skies. So you wouldn't think of that immediately, but there's not a ton of light pollution here just because we have lower population and a huge amount of space. And if you have a really good geomagnetic storm, you can see the Northern Lights all the way down to the very bottom of the province where we border the United States. I've personally seen them myself. I've been out camping in Grasslands National Park East Block, which also happens to be the darkest dark sky preserve in Canada. So you have this incredible opportunity to not only see the stars and the Milky Way when it's in season, but you can pitch your tent anywhere out there. It's kind of like wilderness camping, as long as you're 2 kilometers from a road, and you just set up and you watch the sky at night and you might see those northern lights. The further north you go in the province, the more likely you are to see them, but it's something really extraordinary that very few people have access to these days.
That is a great shout out. I think dark sky parks are so important. Light pollution is so prevalent. And those of us that live in cities maybe have never really experienced like the true awe of the Milky Way when you see it in a truly pitch black place like that. It is something that I feel everyone should go and experience sometime. And Jenny, culturally, from your perspective as a Métis, the dark skies and the stars, that must be an important part of your culture too.
It is. I totally agree with Ashlyn on that. It's just something I think that I didn't really know we had these dark skies or that they were so special until I went to places where they don't exist. And then coming back home, it's just amazing. You can look up and you see everything, and it's just, you're so grounded where you are. And when I look up at those skies, I feel so connected to my ancestors, my European fur trading ancestors, my Cree ancestors that were actually the first tour guides that helped these fur traders survive. Well, didn't help. They were the reason why they survived. So it's very emotional to, now having traveled quite a bit, to come back and realize that we're sitting in one of the most valuable places in the world, and also feeling that grief that we're on stolen land.
Such an important point. Yeah, thank you. And could you maybe talk a little bit about your culture and the history of the Métis people in the region?
Yeah, so I was born in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, which is about 45 kilometers from Batoche, where the final kind of piece of the Northwest resistance happened. It was used to be referred to as the Rebellion, but that kind of paints the wrong picture. It was a resistance where, assisted by our First Nations brothers and sisters and led by Métis leader Louis Riel and Gabriel Dumont, it was kind of a last-ditch effort to claim rights and land for the Métis people. We lost, let's just say. And Louis Riel, our leader, was the last person to be hanged in the province of Saskatchewan for treason. So that's about 25 kilometers from where I live now. So I've always kind of lived pretty connected to either a historic fur trading post or the actual places that these battles and these historical events took place. So I don't take that for granted. And I'm able to do a lot of work right with the museum at Batoche and the cultural site, which is super cool because all the people that work there, pretty much all the people, are either from One Arrow First Nation who were involved in that resistance, or they've been living on or near the site as Métis people since then. So we're a living people. We're not a page in a history book. It's a direct connection, right? So if I'm harvesting choke cherries and then making food with them, that's what we were doing 300, 200,000 years ago, right?
And to your point about we're not discovering these places, for a visitor that is coming to Saskatchewan, I always think that's such an important thing to do, is to go and spend time and learn about the culture of the native people of that area. How can a visitor come and do that in a respectful and sustainable and positive way?
Well, if you're flying into Saskatoon, so if you're flying into YXE, the first thing you can do is go to Wanuskewin Heritage Park. So that's about 10 kilometers outside the city. You can take a cab, you can rent a car, very, very easy drive. And it has been a gathering place for almost every group of Plains Indigenous people for over 6,000 years. And now there's an amazing interpretive site. Even on a self-guided tour in the building and then out on the trails, you can get a really, really good grounding on who was here, who still is here, what happened, and you can learn a lot.
Wanuskewin is a fantastic place to start because of that history. When I started in this job, I was saying that It was a meeting place for over 4,000 years, and now it's over 6,400 years because it's the longest archaeological dig site in Canada, and they've been digging there for over 40 years. So that's how much they've dug down in the 10 years that I've been doing this job. So it's a very interesting way of discovering that. And they're finding things from all over North America. They found obsidian there, and obsidian isn't found in Saskatchewan normally. So it's definitely been a meeting place, a trading place. It was a great place to winter. There's two bison jumps. The queen almost fell over one of those bison jumps, so that would have really put us on the map internationally. It's got the northernmost medicine wheel in the world. The bison were reintroduced in 2019 to that land, and in 2020, some of the baby bison were born. The bison that were born there were from a herd from Yellowstone National Park and a herd from Elk Island by way of Grasslands National Park. And so these two herds coming together and these babies born were the closest genetically to the bison that would have originally roamed the lands before the settlers came in. So to have those bison back on the land is very important for the people because those are their ancestors. Those are their family.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. What a great story.
Yes.
Doesn't that just make you want to come to that place and stand there?
Oh, it gives like, me it's just, shivers.
I know. It gives me shivers every time I tell the story.
And that's just one of the things that happened there.
Yeah. It's magical. Anyway, it is up for a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And we're hoping to find out in 2025 because it's such a long process. But it will be our first in Saskatchewan. So we're pretty excited.
Just one recommendation for visitors if they plan on visiting Wanuskewin. There is the option for self-guided tours around Wanuskewin, but I so recommend signing up for the free guided tours. Yeah. They happen several times a day. They are so amazing and such great information. And the guides share their own personal stories and tie it in with Wanuskewin as well. So if you're a visitor coming, I highly recommend not just doing the self-guided tour, but making sure you're joining one of those guided tours as well.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Is there other stuff in the region that you've been lucky enough to experience?
For me, in terms of outdoor adventure and the access that we have to the outdoors here in Saskatchewan is incomparable. I mean, Canada as a country is lucky for our access, but Saskatchewan really hits it home. You know, we have the grasslands and the badlands and agricultural lands in the south, but then 50% of our province is made up of the boreal forest. And a lot of people don't realize this just because the majority of the population doesn't live there. So I love to head north and I love to explore the waterways and the boreal forest, especially because there's lots of wildlife there too. You can see wildlife all around the province. You really get to see some unique animals, lynx and cougars in the forest. You often encounter black bears and always want to be safe about it too and make sure to maintain your distance from them. But Prince Albert National Park is an excellent park that's just on the edge of the forestry line and the transition zone between parkland and boreal forest. And it is so well set up for travelers. I recommend renting a car, driving into the park. The park puts on some really fantastic programming, and it's four-season programming too. It's not just in the summer months. If you're a camper, you can camp and you can backcountry camp if you're really into it. But there are some really great places that you can stay both inside and outside the park. And that is such a great stepping off point to kind of access our wilderness here in the province.
Yeah, and Canada is on such a huge scale. For people listening that maybe haven't experienced it, it's just another scale, it's another level, and that magnitude really, really hits you. I always feel there's something special about that pure wilderness. You know, you mentioned this vast province, almost the size of Texas, but only 1 million people live there. And that emptiness and that wilderness, that just hits home in a really deep way, doesn't it? And we spoke about grasslands earlier, but could you give us an overview of kind of national parks, state parks, places that people should go and visit?
Sure. Yeah. Those are our two national parks, Grasslands and Prince Albert National Park, and they're completely different. At Prince Albert National Park, it's boreal forest in that transition area. So you're going to find trees, lakes, elk, grasslands, completely different. It's badlands, it's bison, it's prairie dog colonies, black-footed ferrets, it's greater shorthorn lizards. There's burrowing owls. There's so many things to see there. That's mostly in the West Block. In the East Block, there's the Valley of a Thousand Devils. It's just amazing. There's quicksand there and dinosaurs. So those two parks are completely different. We also have 49 national historic sites, 24 provincial parks, 5 provincial historic parks, and 80 regional parks. So there's so many beautiful places to camp and get away. But Grasslands National Parks, if I had to pick a favorite, that's my favorite. It's one of the quietest places on Earth. You know, we mentioned the dark skies. It's magical. And we also have a crazy provincial park. It's the Athabasca Sand Dunes. And they're the most northerly active sand dunes on Earth. And it's pretty amazing. So when people think of Saskatchewan, they think of prairies, they think of wheat, not sand dunes. But we have more accessible sand dunes. You're just driving on a dirt road and then all of a sudden it turns to sand and you're like, what's going on? And you can definitely have a good time there. Saskatchewan only has 2% of the population, but 20% of Canada's roads. So we have 250,000 kilometers of roads.
It sounds like a place that's built for a road trip. Ashlyn, like, what are some of the best road trips you've taken?
Any road trip in the province, I've been all directions. Again, you can't miss the national parks if you have the opportunity to. But what I also recommend, our provincial and regional parks are amazing. So if you are headed somewhere and you see a sign for a regional park, it is so worth turning off the highway or, you know, the grid road that you're on to a secondary grid road, because all of our parks are so incredible. And it's worth the detour. I've been surprised throughout my travels when I pop into regional parks. I had no idea they were there. And when I go visit them, I'm just blown away by what services they have, the lakes that you can access. And you'll have a really good chance of meeting a lot of locals in the regional parks because they pull in people from the neighboring towns and communities too. And people are always so excited to meet travelers in Saskatchewan. And I mean, you'll get pulled into a ton of different conversations because people are just excited that you're here and that you're traveling and curious about our province.
I love that. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Just going a little bit off the beaten track, see those big, fabulous, fantastic national parks, but then check out some of those local gems as well. Speaking of which, everyone's now got to choose a regional park that's their local tip. Give me some under the radar, like where would be your tips that people might not know about?
Manitou. Manitou Beach, Manitou Lake is second only to the Dead Sea in its mineral content. So you float in it and it's supposed to have all those therapeutic properties. And it has an old timey dance hall called Dance Land. And the dance floor is built on horsehair. It's like a floating dance floor, they say. So it's really bouncy when you dance. And it actually does give you energy. I danced on that. I think the last time was in October and I was dancing for hours. It was amazing. They also have a drive-in theater there. They have a great restaurant there, a burger shack and all sorts of fun things to do there. So the regional park there is beautiful. And that would be my regional park choice in Saskatchewan.
But you have to go to the buffet early. The seniors like to go at 4 and clean it out. So I went there once and
you have to 3 p.m.
There was a bun and a piece of lettuce left when I went, but yeah.
Just go to the beach bar.
Yeah. Oh, the beach bar is so good. Yes.
There's
so
many burgers there.
Beach bars, mineral lakes. Oh, wow. That's going to be hard to beat. What about you, Jenny? It doesn't, I guess, have to be a park, but a special place for you that you would recommend.
So I grew up at north of LaRonge, Saskatchewan. So that's about, I guess, is it 450 kilometers north of Saskatoon? So people think it's northern Saskatchewan, but it's actually the geographic center of the province. It's Precambrian shield and boreal forest. So you're just kind of on the other kind of where two zones meet. So in high school, we used to maybe would take some liberties with our lunch hour and we would go to Nut Point, which is in the Lac La Ronge Provincial Park. It's just kind of at the end of where the town is. And we'd jump off the rocks into Lac La Ronge. And it was very cooling and wonderful. And the campsites there, like if you have to pick a campsite, I don't know how you would possibly do it because they're all beautiful with a view and just so well appointed. Actually, one thing I want to mention before I forget is that winter, I know coming to Canada in winter might not be on everyone's shortlist, but It's amazing, amazing, amazing. And we lived and thrived here in these cold conditions. So it can be up to, what, like 49 degrees Celsius, maybe I'm pushing it, in the summer, and at least that cold, minus 49 to 50 Celsius in the winter at certain points. Climate change is kind of messing with that. But come in the winter and there's something for you to do everywhere you go. I'm sure Ashlyn's been winter camping and it's just so beautiful. Yesterday when I was driving back down south, we had to snowmobile out. And then even when we got to the highway, the moisture was frozen on the trees and it was like diamonds. Forget about the Northern Lights. The things the snow does here is phenomenal.
That sounds absolutely idyllic, but I don't want to leave you out, Ashlyn. So where is your choice? Where are you sending us?
So my recommendation is Pine Cree Regional Park. This is like a hidden gem, literally. You can be driving along the highway, you just see a sign for the park, you drive into it, and all of a sudden you're in this amazing treed-in valley, and there's a campground at the bottom of it. And there's even a camping site that crosses over a bridge. So you walk over the bridge to pitch your tent. And it's such a gem in the province, but it's in an incredible location too, because to the east of it, you have the community of Shaunavon, and there is a restaurant there that is one of my favorites. Yes, Harvest Eatery in Shaunavon is just like, if you are in the area, even if you're 100 kilometers away from it, detour to go eat there because it is some of the best food that we have in the province. The chef there does an incredible job with the menu and where he sources all his ingredients from. But then to the west of Pine Cree Regional Park, you have the community of East End. And this town is tiny, but they have so many amazing things going on. But primarily what they're known for are dinosaurs. They have the T-Rex Discovery Center. It is mainly open in the summer months, but you get to go see some amazing fossils of dinosaurs that have been pulled out of southern Saskatchewan. They have some incredible pottery. There's a lot of clay in the hills that lie west of the community. So you can buy pottery from locals who have been making it for decades. And there's some really great hiking opportunities up in the hills and lots of wildlife. I mean, I could tell you even more. This is just like touching the surface of what you can do there. And there's hotels and B&Bs in both of these communities too, so you don't have to camp in the regional park. And there's actually a really great B&B, which during the day is an art gallery and shares art from artists in the local community or who have been inspired by the landscape. But you can also rent it and stay in the whole house for the night. And it's really wonderful too.
Great tips. Well, you know, we've talked about outdoors, adventure. We've talked about nature, dark skies, beautiful silence, indigenous culture, history. I've worked up an appetite. And I just want to say, Jenny, wherever you're cooking, I want to eat. Could you just tell me a little bit more about the kind of food you cook and why you're so passionate about it?
The food I cook was largely informed by how and where I was raised. So I grew up north of L'Orange, Saskatchewan, and 10 kilometers north of the town and then a mile into the bush by a little lake. We didn't have TV or phones until I was an older teenager. So to entertain myself, I would cook, pick berries. I would seek out plant knowledge from anybody that I could find. I remember coming back with berries and asking my mom, are these edible? And she'd say, yeah. So luckily they were. So it just really built on that and started cooking at a very young age. My first restaurant was a hamburger stand at our local airport. And when I was 14 years old with a couple friends, we called it Flight Delight. And then, so growing up, I cooked with blueberries, raspberries, rabbit, fish. Moose meat was very common. My dad didn't hunt or fish, but we were gifted things a lot. And then, you know, I don't know if you know, but Saskatchewan produces 99% of the world's lentils and wheat and barley. We're just such a fertile place for those foods. So then kind of learning to cook with those ingredients, working those in. We produce most of the world's mustard. So we have beautiful mustards. So right now where I am today and where Ashlyn is, the city is called Saskatoon. That's taken from the Cree word for the Saskatoon berry, which is Misaskatoomina. So even our cities are named after food and berries, and how delicious is that? Choke cherries and Saskatoon berries were used to nourish people during the long winter. So dried, ground down, added to bison and fat to make pemmican. A cool thing is, near where I grew up, a cache of pemmican was discovered. It was 80 years old and was taken to the University of Saskatchewan and tested, and it was still edible. Can you believe that? I'm not going to try that. I'm not going to leave some pemmican for my grandkids to taste. But beef, we have amazing beef. Saskatoon's food culture is so collaborative. I think that the fact that we celebrate each other, from the ingredient producers to the chefs to the restaurants to the culinary experiences, that makes our food taste better because of the spirit that goes into it. Oh, and the newcomers to Canada too. Like, we have amazing Chinese food, Korean food, Indian food, Lebanese. What am I missing, guys?
Thai, Vietnamese.
Mm. Oh, you're not going to go hungry here. I shouldn't say favorite restaurants, but I have to say Hearth at Ramey Modern, our art museum, and Odd Couple on 20th Street in Saskatoon are absolutely two of my top recommendations. And Odla. And.
I love that.
Can't just have one favorite.
It's hard to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the drinks. That's a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, tell me about the drinks.
Well, maybe Jody can tell us about the drinks.
All right, Jody.
I'm not saying anything here, but
I have a bit of a reputation. Well, I'll tell you about two of my favorites. For beer, I'll tell you about Rebellion Brewing Company. They're in Regina, and they are just kind of how they sound, Rebellion. So they make beer out of almost anything, including lentils. So they make a lentil cream ale. Sounds weird, but it tastes like beer. So don't be scared. They're pretty amazing, and I love them. For hard alcohol, which I also love, Black Fox Farm and Distillery.
Black Fox.
They are amazing. They actually won a World Gin Award in the UK for their oak casked gin. And it's crazy because it looks like a whiskey because it's been oak casked, but it is gin and it is delicious. They've also started making whiskey. And the crazy thing about their whiskey is that they just didn't have room in their distillery to store all the whiskey barrels. So they thought, you know, we have lots of land. Let's store it outside. Kind of weird because of our temperature fluctuations. But they're like, okay, well, this is where we're going to store it. And they found that because of our temperature fluctuations, it actually aged the whiskey faster. In 3 to 5 years, they can make a whiskey that tastes like it's been aged 10 or 20 years. So it's also wonderful and amazing. And they have a tap room, for lack of a better word, and you can go there and they have a you-pick flower garden and you can go on tours there. They're coming up with different things every day, so I can't even update you on what they're doing now because there's something new every time. And they're doing winter whiskey experiences. Ashlyn and I went on one last year, and it was lovely. We were in a geodesic dome sipping whiskey in the middle of winter, and that was a cold winter. So it's amazing.
I am a whiskey fan, so that's definitely on my list. That sounds wonderful. Talk to me about farm to table, because, you know, and farm experiences and that kind of thing, because I imagine in the sort of place that Saskatchewan is, you're going to have that combination of food and farms in a really delicious way.
The best example of farm to table that I can think of right now is, well, Rusty, like you said, from Harvest Eatery, but Maple Hill, Nipawin, Saskatchewan. So it's, I'm going to say, like, it's a fairly remote community, right, guys? Like, it's, you have to drive a bit to go there. He has a farmer's market on the property. He's the grandson of the guy that I used to buy my cabbage from when I had my restaurant. So he's just living the actual life. He's not transplanted from the city and deciding to go and have to start all these relationships with growers. He's born into it, and it's just such an authentic experience. I've never been there, but it's really on my list. Have you been there, Ashlyn?
Yeah, so it's an actual farmyard. The house is there, and you drive up, and they have the restaurant and an event center. Lots of people get married out there. And you can go inside and check out the goods that they have in the market. You can dine inside or outside, but then you can check out their gardens surrounding the restaurant, and they are massive. And you can literally watch the chef leave the kitchen, walk out to the garden, go pick whatever it is he's wanting for the meal for that night, and come back in and he'll cook it for you. I've gone out there and I've done like the chef's menu. So I just left it up to him. And it was like divine. That's how I would recommend anybody dine out there, is select that option and leave it up to him. And sometimes he cooks things that's on the menu, and sometimes he's like, I'm just going to be creative in the kitchen today and we'll see what you get. It's so wonderful.
Yeah. And there's another place, if you're not willing to drive all the way to Nipawin, in Saskatoon is Odla, and the owners own Farm 140. So they get all of their meat and produce from that farm. So you can also go on a farm tour, and they do dinners on the farm as well. So it's a very closely connected restaurant with their own farm. But the other thing that I was thinking about Maple Hill is that because we have so many small communities, we have these amazing restaurants in small towns like Maple Hill. I don't know the population of Nipawin, but it's small. We also mentioned Harvest Eatery in Shaunavon. It is a destination restaurant. My husband and I went there for an anniversary. It's a four-hour drive, but you stay overnight and it's a place to go. They have incredible food there, and they literally walk across the street to the butcher with a wagon to grab their meat. I've seen it. It's hilarious. There is a restaurant in La Flèche, Saskatchewan called Trigo, and the chef there will do a different cuisine every, I think, 4 months or something. Right now they have a Peruvian menu, and it'll switch over at the end of July. They'll take a week or two off and then have another different cuisine that they'll do. And they do a 6 to 10 course meal, and that's it. One sitting and you're there, and you stay overnight at, you know, a B&B there, and that's your night. And it is a destination type thing. And I really enjoy these little places.
Great tips. I love the idea of like combining a destination place that you go to for the meal, but for the experience. And to your point earlier, Ashlyn, about discovering those places that are a bit under the radar and smaller, and you get to meet people, and that's how you make proper connections and stuff like that too. And obviously road trip heaven, right? Like, you know, you just kind of set those little places on the map and little quirky places to stay too. And that's what I was going to come to next, actually, Ashlyn, as well, because I know there's lots of really fabulous lodges, remote places that you can stay, fly fishing lodges and things like that. Could you pick out a few that you've absolutely loved, you know, that you would recommend, some of the amazing times you've had?
There's one destination where you can stay in a converted grain bin, or a silo, if you aren't familiar with the term grain bin. It's a destination called Alive Sky Lodge. It's just outside of a little community called Rosetown. It's about an hour west of Saskatoon. And April and her husband have done an incredible job with this. You can go out, you stay in this luxury grain bin that they have actually built themselves. They've cut all the, you know, the maple trim that goes up the rounded edges of the grain bin. It's a Canadian maple bed. There's Italian marble countertops. You get hot breakfast in the morning that she has cooked for you. It's usually apple crisp with some cream. And it's this incredible experience because you're actually in their yard, which is an active grain farm. And they actually want to include you in that experience. So if you head out there, no matter the season, if you want to tag along with them, you can go out in the autumn and ride the combine. You can hop on the high clearance sprayer in the summer months. They're really looking to share their lifestyle with other people and say, this is what it's like farming in Saskatchewan and coming out to a grain farm. And you don't have to do that if you don't want to. You can just chill in the hot tub if you prefer. They have hammocks hanging out front. She's converted an old school bus. It's called the Schoolie and the Coolie. She has a lodge as well. And there's these really cool sections. It's like a hidden kids area. It's kind of like that cupboard under the stairs. And she's converted two of them. So one is like an outdoor campfire scene, so your kids can sleep in there. And another one's more like farm related as well. So if you're into glamping, more alternative type places to stay, Alive Sky Lodge for sure. You got to stay in a converted grain bin.
And you got to ride in a combine harvester. That's that sounds fun. Great tip. I love it. And I love finding those kind of quirky places to stay, because that's where you make the memories, you know, and you get to experience all those really unique things and meet fantastic people. Jenny, I'm wondering about like Indigenous run lodges and places that people can go to support and experience the Indigenous culture as well.
Waterhen First Nation is north of Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, at Greg, and they've recently kind of repurchased their own land, and they bought a beautiful eco lodge on Greg Lake. So the staff is mostly from the community, and we're using local Indigenous ingredients, lots of fish, lots of wild rice that's harvested by community members. It is a world-class destination, and I always find when I go up there, even if I'm working like 14 hours a day in the kitchen, something in my spirit just shifts and settles in, and it's just everything's right again. That's a beautiful place. There's lots of small outfitters too, dotted all over the province. You can check out Tourism Saskatchewan site, or we have a new destination marketing organization in Saskatchewan called Indigenous Destination Saskatchewan, IDSK. And they're a member of ITAC, which is the Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada. So if you go to destinationindigenous.ca and look at some of their members and some of the culinary experiences, you can really get a good grounding on where in Saskatchewan, but also across Canada, you can find these experiences. For my community, our big celebration is Back to Batoche. And that happens at Batoche National Historic Site. And there's actually a specially designated camping and celebration grounds across the highway from there, because this thing has gotten huge. Like thousands and thousands of people come. It's like a homecoming for Métis people, but everyone is welcome. So there's jigging and singing, live music, of course, lots of food, lots of bannock and bison burgers. You can camp right on site, or it's a very easy 45-kilometer drive from Saskatoon. Dakota Dunes Casino near Saskatoon is absolutely incredible. So you can do stargazing, have storytelling by the fire. You can go fat biking and you can relax in their spa looking over all this gorgeous land.
Amazing. Yeah, you guys have got me very hungry, very excited to come and visit. So much to do. You know, I love to go to a place where there's such variety as well and still so much to discover for us visitors that maybe haven't heard about it yet. So I think that's amazing. We're going to put all this stuff in the show notes. You can go to Tourism Saskatchewan, of course, as well, wanderlustmagazine.com. Any last final top tips from you, Jody, for visitors?
Well, yes, there's a few things that I forgot to mention. When Ashlyn mentioned East End, around there, we actually have the world's largest T-Rex was found just around there. So if you're into dinosaurs, we have lots of that there. We also have, if you have kids that like dinosaurs or adults that like dinosaurs, at Grasslands National Park, you can join in Fossil Fever, which is every August, and you can actually dig with real life paleontologists. And that's fun. Always fun. We also have some of the best birding in the world. So if you are one of those bird nerds, Saskatchewan is the place to come. And people do come from all over the world to check out our birds. Around half of Canada's pelicans are found in Saskatchewan, and the largest inland concentration of bald eagles are found in Saskatchewan. In southern Saskatchewan, you'll find Canadian strongholds of the rare and endangered burrowing owls and greater sage grouse. In Prince Albert National Park, we have over 200 species of birds. So there are places all over Saskatchewan for fantastic birding. I'm just starting to learn about birds, so that's probably why I'm not as big of a bird nerd as I should be.
So, Ashlyn, yeah, just coming over to you for any final tips.
I think just letting people know that Saskatchewan is an active travel province. And what I mean by that is you have to take the time and effort to go out and see these places. They're not going to come to you. So you have to be open to that adventure, wanting to get on the road and being willing to put yourself out there to meet the locals, chat with them, and you will be rewarded tenfold when you do that.
That's a great tip. And where can people find more of your work as well? I think you were the official travel blogger for the province. Where can people find more of your work too?
Yeah, so I was the official travel blogger, but if people want to reach me, they can find me at thelostgirlsguide.com, and I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. My handle is some version of The Lost Girls Guide.
That's fantastic. And then just finally, Jenny, heading over to you for any last words, where can people find out more about the Métis and Indigenous culture and how to visit respectfully and find out more about your culture while they visit?
Yeah, you can go to Destination Indigenous, that I mentioned earlier, the ITACS, Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada's site, Métis Nation Saskatchewan, Batoche National Historic Site, wanaskewin.com, or you can just reach out to me, send me an email, jennylessard.com, Jenny with an I. And for Indigenous Culinary, indigenousculinary.ca. And like Ashlyn said, any version of Chef Jenny on any of the socials. And for Indigenous Culinary, it's just at Indigenous Culinary. So we really like to take time out to inform people of what they can do. So don't feel like you're bothering us. That's what we're here for. We love to share and guide you to have the experience that's perfect for you here in Saskatchewan.
Oh, well, that's amazing. And I look forward to seeing you all there. This just sounds like my perfect place, somewhere that you can get that wilderness, some great food, some dark skies. I'm coming to see the Northern Lights, that's for sure. So yeah, thank you so much, guys. It's been amazing to chat with you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sadly, that's all we have time for today. But before you dash off, make sure you hit that subscribe button and follow us wherever you get your podcasts.
And that might be all for today, but we have plenty more exciting episodes coming up soon, so do listen out for those. And do check out wanderlustmagazine.com for more exciting travel content and ideas.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Wanderlust Off the Page was introduced by Lynn Hughes and Rodri Andrews. The interviewer was Aaron Miller. The show was produced by Armchair Productions, the audio experts for the travel industry.